Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
We look at our country, and polling shows that more than three-fourths of the nation thinks that we're headed in the wrong direction. The approval numbers for all three branches of government have plummeted. We need to see some significant changes. I think we're probably all familiar with 2 Chronicles 7:14. This is the well-known passage in which God promises that if we, who are called by His name, will humble ourselves and pray and seek His face and turn from our wicked ways, that He will hear from heaven and heal our land. Certainly, America's health and healing starts with prayer. Earlier generations definitely understood this. In fact, by 1815, there had been over 1,400 government-issued calls to prayer in America. In fact, John Hancock himself personally issued 22 prayer proclamations, such as this one. But John Hancock understood that prayer by itself wasn't enough, that we couldn't just stop with prayer. As he admonished citizens in his day, "I urge you, by all that is dear, by all that is honorable, by all that is sacred, not only that you pray, but that you act." We must seek God and appeal to Him for help, but then we must also do everything we can to make a difference. Remember 2 Chronicles 7:14? We're to pray. But it also says that we're to turn from our wicked ways, and that includes our inactivity and non-involvement, our sitting on the sidelines, particularly with regard to what goes on in our government. This is part of the wicked ways from which American Christians in particular must turn. We have to pray and rely on God, but we also have to take action. This is what made America free in the first place. When the American Revolution began, we had no major assets of our own. We'd been British colonies our entire existence, and now we're going to take on the greatest military power in the world with only our fledgling resources? Britain had a formidable navy. They ruled the seas. So what are we supposed to do with that? Well, we could build our own navy, but in the early years, we didn't even have a national government, and so there's no way to fund a navy. But fortunately, in 1775, still almost a year before the Declaration of Independence, George Washington stepped up as an individual and personally commissioned 6 cruisers. Of course, those 6 ships from George Washington weren't much compared to the scores of ships in Britain's navy, but that's what we had. And back then, all the ships in a nation's navy flew their flag openly and visibly so that their fellow ships could avoid the friendly fire and not sink the wrong ships. So the British had their flag, but not the Americans. We're brand new. We don't even have a national flag yet. So how are we going to recognize our fellow ships? No problem. We'll create our first flag. And according to official records, it was a flag with a white background, a pine tree in the middle, and it included the motto, "Appeal to Heaven." This was our first flag, and it flew on our navy. A year later, after the Declaration was signed, the state of Massachusetts built its own state navy, and this was also adopted as the official flag for their navy. And then the Massachusetts Army adopted a flag for its ground forces, and it had a similar motto, an appeal to God. As these official mottos and declarations and flags indicate, we openly relied on God. But we didn't stop there. That was just the first step. As John Hancock had urged, we prayed and we acted. This same combination of prayer and action remained a no-brainer for American Christians for generations afterwards. In fact, a century and a half after the Revolution, Teddy Roosevelt penned this book, "Fear God and Take Your Own Part." As Teddy explained, "But in addition to fearing God, it is necessary that we should be able and ready to take our own part. The man who cannot take his own part is a nuisance in the community, a source of weakness, an encouragement to wrongdoers, and an added burden to the men who wish to do what is right. If he cannot take his own part, then somebody else has to take it for him." There is no reason that God-fearing Christians should be a burden to anyone else, especially to the nation in general. We need to step up and carry our weight. As God-fearing people, we have a voice, and we also have overwhelming numbers. But if we continue to remain silent and uninvolved, we'll have no one to blame for the godless outcome but ourselves. We need to recruit good people to run for office, or even run for office ourselves. We need to speak out about what's going on around us, but we absolutely, definitely, unequivocally must vote. That's not optional. Voting is not a right, it's a duty, and we will answer to God for what we do or what we don't do with our vote. So we do have to appeal to God, but we also have to take action. And now is the time that we must get involved.
So you're looking at, Dave is doing an excellent job letting us know. I mean, it's a duty to vote. I mean, it's where the founding fathers fought physical battle for us to have that right to vote. Now, it does feel kind of, you know, a lot of conflict, a lot of friction and
divisiveness,
but that's just how it's always been. You have a right to speak your will, speak your who you would like to support. You're okay. It's okay for you to do that.
And that's where a lot of people learn and grow, to be able to share ideas. And if your idea is that good, then let's put it into the mill and let's debate it and talk about it and explain it. But be involved, be engaged in this process.
Yeah, and you think about this too, that if they had to shoot guns and shoot cannons and get on boats and fight other ships out there, I mean, it couldn't be that bad to go call up a candidate's office and ask them how they stand on issues or look at their website or go register to vote. But yet it's just as aggressive. If you get informed and pray and abide and ask God, God, who would you want to be the next leader? Because you're like the king in America. I mean, it's a government by the people, for the people. You choose who's going to lead the nation for the next four, six, 2 years or so. And you can make that choice. 54 million Christians, 54 million reportedly did not even vote. That would determine who's going to be the next president, who's going to be the next Supreme Court justice for the next 50 years. I mean, all of this. So, you know, listening to people talk or not getting active, the thing is, the answer to is get informed, understand whoever becomes the president will determine not just 4 years in their office, but they'll determine what the direction of this country is going to go potentially for the next 50 years, because they'll appoint those Supreme Court justices, and they may even send our sons and daughters now to war. It makes a huge difference who's going to be leading our country. I mean, you think about it, I mean, if anybody served the nation well, Judge Scalia did.
Yes.
So it's for, you know, what are we going to do? Just like President Reagan appointed Judge Scalia years ago.
And the Senate confirmed.
It's time for that today. Yeah, it's time. And you need to let your congressman know, your senator know. Let the president know that, you know, who do you want to be the one deciding the cases next time somebody prays in school and somebody tries to put them in jail because they're preaching the gospel on a street somewhere, or they, you know, decide that now that people can marry animals or something, or you can have polygamous relationships. I mean, there's all kinds of things that could come up before the Supreme Court. And it's who we choose to lead us. And most of all, is choosing God through his son, Jesus Christ, to be the Lord of your life. And at that point, allowing him to lead you and say, God, give me a fear of the Lord in my heart. He talked about these judges. There's a few judges that have a fear of God. We need to have a fear of God in our heart. And he said, that's the beginning of wisdom. And then we will vote for folks that we understand that God's going to hold us accountable for. Mm-hmm. Whether we have fear or not, God's going to hold us accountable. But understanding that really helps us out. And I want to pray right now. Father God, I thank you for this opportunity to be able to honor this Supreme Court Justice Scalia, Lord God, and how he stood up as one man and did what was constitutionally sound, the original intent of the Constitution. Lord God, I pray that for this generation, that new Scalias will arise and begin to say, you know, we're going to hold fast to God's original intent over this nation. God, and we just ask you for that, Lord. Give us godly leaders, God. Give us a godly Supreme Court, Father God. Lord, we pray, heal our land. Lord, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, we pray. In Jesus' name, God bless.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN-TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.